Well, the next few weeks of the lectionary have us in this part of Hebrews, and so I was looking at it and thought, as I often do, that these are familiar passages of Scripture, and beginning to realize that familiarity frequently breeds, if not exactly contempt, it breeds this idea that you sort of know everything that's there. And so it's always good to go and look at it again. If you're ever wanting to do this yourself and you just can't stand the thought of reading whatever it is again for the however many of the time, just find a translation that you've never read it in before, which can be very interesting. It's a great way to figure out sort of what you know and what you actually remember from what is actually there. They aren't always the same. I'm beginning to realize that the older I get. There's all kinds of things I remember very clearly exactly what it says until I read it and realize, well, no, it's not quite like that at all, as it turns out. And so we're looking at faith. And Hebrews 11, the whole chapter is frequently called the faith chapter. And it crossed my mind to read the whole thing to us, for have the whole thing read to us. And then I read it out loud to my, not quite with all the flourishes I might do if I was doing it here. And it takes about 6 minutes. And I thought that might just be a little bit longer to inflict on anyone. But what we have in this passage, or in the texts that have been chosen for us coming out of this larger chapter, is this idea that faith is something that deals with more than what we can see. And that seems almost a truism, and for those of us who have grown up in the faith or at least spent a lot of time in it, it is a truism. That's what we think of. Faith is not just depending on what you can see and touch and all of those things. So the classic example is that you're not particularly exercising faith when you're sitting there. You might be exercising faith before you sit down, that it will hold you up, but once it's there, I mean, you're not sitting there in faith that the pew won't suddenly collapse. The chance of that is pretty slim. That's not a faith thing. That's just understanding what's actually going on in the world. Faith is something a little bit more involved with what we can't necessarily see, with things that aren't always amenable to figuring them out in a way that they become unassailable. We have to take some things on faith because we don't understand them. When I talk to a lot of my co-workers, these are software developers who will tell me why they have to go through a particular process to have this end result, occasionally in exhausting detail, exactly what they have to do. I just take by faith that they know what they're talking about. I'm not going to put in all the time to figure out whether they're right or not. And in this particular case, we're back to the pew issue, because then when they tell me it's all done and I try it and it works, then I don't need to have faith anymore because I can see the end result. The stories that we have in Hebrews 11 aren't like that. The people that are held up as examples of faith all through Hebrews 11, and we really only heard about Abraham and Sarah and some allusions to some of their children perhaps, the faith that they had wasn't something that was easily demonstrable. And we think particularly of Abraham and Sarah. It's very unusual for people at that age to have children. We sometimes look at this and think, well, what did people know back then and all that? Okay, well, everybody knew that by the time you were in your late 80s, you weren't about to be involved with children. When you're in your late 70s, you're not going to be having them. And beyond that, it's simply out of the question. I mean, these people may not have known everything about the hormonal system, but they're pretty sure, I think, that this is now the end of the possibility of women having children. I mean, it's just not that complicated when it comes right down to it, if that's all you're looking at. And so for Abraham and Sarah to accept this as anything other than just an absurdity is something else. Now, I do find it somewhat heartening that both of them were allowed to find this funny. When you read the original story in Genesis, they both laughed at this very notion of them having children. And they weren't struck dead. They weren't punished for it or anything like that. That God does realize that as human beings, when we hear things that are simply beyond our ability to grasp, sometimes we laugh. But Abraham and Sarah somehow had this connection with the message they got that allowed them to believe in it sufficiently that they were willing to maybe even make some changes in their life. it comes back to continue the sort of the almost tired old example of a pew. You can tell me you have faith in a pew, but if you never sit in it, I think I'm allowed to question whether you actually have that faith or not. If you tell me something that you believe in, but you don't do it, then I think there's a bit of a disconnect there. And so the flip side of that, of course, is that people who say we say they have faith, if they then act on that, I think then we can see that this is something that actually matters to them. It's more than just a casual belief. It's more than just a thought that passed their mind. And that's what we see all through Hebrews 11. We see people acting on things that weren't there yet. And not just on the things that are inevitable, not just acting on the faith that the sun will rise. It's nothing as simplistic or as simple as that. These are people acting on the understanding that the God who created everything is able to do more than we think, is able to accomplish things that we actually think are impossible. Faith is more than believing what you know isn't true, to borrow a rather pejorative line from Mark Twain. I'm pretty sure is the one who's best known for saying it. Whether he invented it or not, I don't know. Faith isn't about believing things that you know are impossible. Faith is about believing in things that you don't understand how they can work. And maybe even you think are impossible, but you set aside the impossibility of it and live your life from the premise that what has been promised and what you're believing in will actually happen. When we look down through the rest of Hebrews 11, we see all kinds of things where it's fairly obvious that people actually did something on the basis of some kind of communication from God. Noah made himself a laughing stock, building a big boat in the middle of a place that didn't have water. Why? Well, the people there obviously thought he was crazy, but because he had faith in something that was beyond his ability to explain, or perhaps a better way to put it, is beyond his ability to prove. I suspect if you would have talked to Noah at that time, he would have said, this is what happened. God spoke to me, asked me to do these things so that life would be preserved, and so I'm going to do them, which is an explanation. He couldn't demonstrate the reality of that until it started to rain. We look at all of these others. Abraham going to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. I mean, the promise of Isaac was an extraordinary thing already, a miracle baby of the first order, and then told to sacrifice this child. In faith, Abraham moved forward. The author of Hebrews suggests that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. So he figured, well, I'll do what I need to be told. It'll all work out because God said, I will have descendants through this person. It did work out. Abraham stepped forward. Look at all these other ones in here that we didn't read. Joseph, Moses. I mean, Moses did extraordinary things. Not because the outcome was obvious, but because the outcome was promised. And so where do we place ourselves in these things? I've never met anybody who was asked to build an ark. And I've never met anyone who's sort of had these obvious, sort of hugely dramatic kinds of things. But I've met many people who strongly believed that they were asked to change careers, they were asked to move, they were asked to go from where they were to some place that they'd never heard of sometimes. Go someplace they really didn't want to go. And they did. Why? Because we go back to what this chapter kicks off with, depending on the translation you use. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I did some digging into this first verse and realized that unless I suddenly developed a brand new couple of days in the week to just spend with this, I wasn't going to get through all of it, because it's a little more complicated than that. When we start looking at how it was originally written, what the Greek is doing, like the language, and we can't get all caught up on linguistic differences, but we do need to remember that other languages have different nuances in the words they use. And it's possible to translate this something along the lines of that faith is part of creating what we know is going to happen. And when you think of that, we think, well, how is that possible? Obviously, God is going to do this no matter what. And what it is, as much as anything, I think, is that when we work through the faith that we need to have to move forward, it changes us in significant ways, so we are part of making these things happen. It doesn't mean that we're like God. It doesn't mean that we can change God's mind into doing things that God doesn't want to. Let's make sure we never go there. But faith is more than just saying, oh, it'll be fine. Faith is an active thing. And when we look at these people in Hebrews 11, what we see are people doing things with the faith that they have and being part of making what God talked about, what God promised, eventually happen. Not solely responsible for it, of course. But if Noah would have had all the faith in the world but didn't bother to pick up a hammer to build an ark, what is his faith? His faith is nothing. Our faith in God is a way that we work with God to bring about these things that have been promised to us. It's not just this passive acceptance of what's going to happen next. Faith is an active thing. At least it can be, and it should be in us. So much of what we do in our lives, and our Christian lives as well, doesn't take much faith at all. We've now reached a stage where we don't have to have faith that the roads are going to be good enough for us to get where we need to or anything like that. I mean, we don't think about it, at least not very often. I very seldom get up in the morning going to work or coming here or something else and pray a little prayer that all the roads will work. I mean, this is just part of the backdrop of our lives. In the same way that I don't wake up every morning and pray that God will somehow demonstrate his continued existence in my life. I'm okay with that. That's part of it. Where does my faith get stretched? Where does my faith get tested? Where does my faith work itself out? In those things that aren't quite as simple, that aren't quite as easy, but still come from God. Now, it's tricky knowing what comes from God. I have lots of weird ideas that I know aren't from God, but I have some okay ideas that I think just come from me or from somebody else's suggestion. Part of our faith and working on our faith is having this deep, settled belief that God will make it clear when God is speaking to us. That it won't be this thing we think of once and never think of again. The things God asks us to do are things that make sense to us at some level, even if they sometimes don't make sense right away. They're the kinds of things that the people who are around us, who have been sources of wisdom for us, will affirm. Doesn't mean that you might not be called to sort of step out on your own in a new and dramatic way, but that doesn't happen all that often. And while we're waiting for those extraordinary moments where we're called to build an ark, there are still things we're called to do. There are still ways we're called to work out our faith, to take risks, to do a little bit more. I look in the back corner of this church and I see the physical outcomes of faith. When we decided, elders decided, when all of us decided, really, that we needed a lift just to make this place more accessible, we didn't look at the bank account and go, oh, look at that, all the money's there, everything's fine. It was an act of faith to step forward into that. As dramatic as an ark? Well, maybe not as dramatic as an ark, but a significant step for this congregation? Absolutely. And it's coming together. If we would have simply sat and believed that God wanted this and we would come to church some Sunday and it would miraculously be there, it still wouldn't be there, even in its not quite finished state. It wouldn't be there at all. We're part of God making things happen on earth. The miraculous does still happen. God does still do things with no human intervention or anything else. But when you look at the miraculous, when you listen to people talking about the miracles of their lives, how often have those miracles been mediated to them by human beings just like us, frequently, who are listening to God, who are willing to take chances, who are willing to do something as simple as making a phone call at just the right time. A coincidence? You can believe that if you like. I don't. This is God at work, working through the faith of people who hear things from God, however that happens, whether it's through reading scripture, through prayer, through just those things that come into our minds, with the sense that this matters. This is more than just an idea. And then doing something about them. That's the faith that's being talked about here. And that kind of faith, even if the only cost it might be to you is looking kind of silly, if you phone somebody and say, well, I was kind of worried about you, and it turns out that you didn't need to be, but you did it anyway because sometimes it turns out that they needed you to phone them for whatever reason. That kind of faith is exactly the same kind of thing that had Noah building an ark. That had Abraham and Sarah saying, okay, you're going to give us a baby. We're not sure how, but we will live as if that's going to happen. Faith is one of the most important things that we have as believing people. I'm occasionally a little frustrated at how slippery it can be, because the things that we have faith in sometimes do turn out to simply be from us. We don't always get it right when we're listening to God. But if we don't accept the possibility that God will speak to us now, we'll never get it right because we'll never hear it. We'll always discount it. I'm sure Noah could have said, well, what an interesting fantasy that is. I wonder what book I read that gave me that idea to drag him into our century. But he didn't. He was willing to take that risk, to step out in faith in something that made him look silly, but in the end was of profound importance. I don't know whether you're getting called for any of those right now. I don't know if that's going to happen today or tomorrow, or if it's happened recently or whatever else it might be. But what I do know is that if we put ourselves in the position of believing that, yes, this does happen, that this is part of what faith is, not simply the settled belief in the God who we know well, but a willingness to be active in the things that we are called to do, that's when we get to take our own little spot in Hebrews 11. We don't have to walk around in skins and things, and we don't have to be persecuted, thank goodness. But we can demonstrate and work out the same kind of faith. And we do it by beginning and believing that the God who loves us, the God who created all things, still communicates to us today. And still sometimes asks us to do things that we don't see how we can get there. We don't understand how they can work, but we move towards them anyway. And that's how things happen. That's how arcs get built. That's how lifts get put in. We all have access to the same kind of faith, and we're all called to this same faith, regardless of whether it's big and dramatic, whether many people know about it, or it's just us. But we need to live in this reality that faith is being sure of what we hope for. And what we hope for is what's been revealed to us by God. And then being certain of it, even before we see it. Amen.